I'm just waiting to see what would happen today.
Welcome to November.
Oh, thank God we made it.
We not thank God we made it.
We made it because October. Woo!
Yeah.
So scary.
It finally kind of feels like, wow, I can take a little break now.
Mm-hmm.
A little break. Which is needed, because, yeah.
It is. It's
since
needed.
Our last episode, someone has received an AARP card.
Wait, how old do you have to get? Let me search this up. How old?
There's only one of us on this podcast that I always get mistakenly for being older.
I'm going to let y'all talk today.
Oh, you can actually be 18 to get an AARP card.
Yeah, girl, get your AARP.
Babe, I look AARP.
Let me go ahead and join.
Not you. No shade to us older people.
Now you said us older people. That's crazy.
Because, hey, you know, we got to protect.
No. Miss Conductress is in her technically late 20s.
Yes, late 20s. Thank you. But it's been great. You know, we had region band things going on. So honestly, I was just focusing on getting kids ready for their audition, and they did very well. I was proud of all of them. So I think I was doing that teacher thing of October where it's like, okay, just put the medal to the ground and keep it moving. Keep going.
Bantober is real, y'all.
Bantober. Yeah. Even though I don't do nothing with marching band, I'm so glad I don't do nothing with marching band. I left that lifestyle. That's just, you know, praise God, praise be. Yes. But Bantober still happens in other places as well.
It's true.
Except for, you know, Michael always calls me from somebody's football game or something. And I'm like, why are you there?
Right.
Hey, here's the thing, y'all. I love football. Even like bad high school football. Like, I just love football. It's like fun to watch football. You know, like, it's just a fun time.
That's
like
cute.
Friday nights is a whole little thing. So, you know, that's cute and whatever. Like, yeah,
I love it for the youth. You know, as long as they're not getting into, you know, shenanigans and all the other being scalawags out there in the streets.
Girl, someone was sitting at Waffle House, saw a child running. That thing was crazy.
A child? What?
Child was running from a school while someone was sitting at a Waffle House.
Okay, why are you telling my story? First of all, Mike always loves to help repeat my story.
I was like, what is going on?
So I was sitting at the Waffle House, you know, my favorite restaurant. And today I had today off because, you know, it's just a staff development day. So I was at the Waffle House. And while I'm eating my waffle and my hash browns, I see a kid running.
Covered, chunked, and peppered.
Thank you. I see a kid running from the school. So right across the street from this Waffle House is a high school. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm on the phone. I'm like, he's running. And now he's looking over his shoulder like somebody's, he ain't supposed to be where he's supposed to be. Watch your children. And especially in high school, because high school kids can literally just walk away.
Okay, they're not supposed to.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Are we sure that this wasn't a weapons situation and he wasn't just, you know, he wasn't running to whoever
his anchor? But here's the thing. He ran across the street looking over his shoulder, okay? 5 minutes roll by, I see him come back, and he runs back across the street to the high school. I was like, what are you doing? I mean, but again, my high school did not do this. I guess they didn't trust us. But, you know, some high schools are like, you can go away for lunch and come back.
No.
That was not my high school. We were on lockdown. We couldn't do nothing. We couldn't even have, you know, free periods. It was like, you got to do something.
I think technically, like this, we had a senior parking lot, and if you got your friend to let you back in, like if you left, went to your car, and went and did something, you came back, you just had to get someone to let you back into the
Oh yeah.
school, you know? But you weren't supposed to. You weren't
No,
supposed to.
my high school, they did not play any of those games. And it could have been because the high school I went to, they were relatively new. Like literally, I think I was the when I came in, it was only 3 years old. So I was the sixth class to graduate from that high school. So they really was like laying the ground rules down, like, no, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're not acting this way, you're not doing that. And so a lot of people do not like my high school because of that.
Well,
And
I'm
but you know, look, I'll go on record and say it had its ups and downs, but for what I liked, it was fine. It was fine.
I got away with a lot of stuff. There's one thing about Michael Shannon Brown Jr. You will know I will find every loophole known to man.
Yes, you will.
But to write that language very clear and plain, and don't try to.
Not playing because you don't know big words.
I don't. And
That's
it will work in my favor. I'll be like, I don't know what that word is. First of
crazy.
all, Michael would say some of the things he got away with in high school, and I'm just like, that's that Jones kind of education.
I didn't go to Johns County.
Yes, you did.
I'm not gonna speak on that name.
Yes, you did. And you know what? There have been multiple times where you have said
Blessed.
things, and I'm
22
like, I
to
need to
23
call
with my presence.
Georgia Department of Education Services.
My presence
I'm reporting.
and I
Reporting. I
will
am reporting.
live a great high school life without worrying about different things. So
Michael
where
used to skip. Michael used to be at the Dairy Queen down the street and a high school going on. He used to be in his car doing not high school appropriate things.
And what is that, Anthony?
That's
Ooh.
your business. That's your business.
Mind your business, Anthony.
I mind mine, so you mind yours.
Ooh.
I find mine.
But all of that to say is that teach the children. Keep them somewhere in line.
Teach the children.
But Lauren, I saw that recently. You were doing like a community event with some high schools or something.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh,
How
yeah.
was that?
It was cute. It was cute. We like I don't know if this is something that other people are experiencing who if you work in arts admin or whatever, but a lot of people, especially from a young age, are getting more curious about like jobs. And to be fair, that's a good thing because there's cuts to education happening. There's like money and funding being cut from the arts, so like a lot of symphony orchestras are closing and like less and less jobs. It feels as if and it looks as if there are less and less opportunities for students who are coming out of school right now. And so like the basically all of October, every single week, I was meeting with like a student one-on-one and like doing a class presentation or like a career arts fair at a school and everything. And like it's just crazy to know that there are students who are actually getting to learn about different careers early on rather than only thinking they have to perform or teach, which is like, that was not really something when I grew up. Like, I was either like, I'm gonna play flute professionally in like a military band or an orchestra, or I'm gonna be a teacher. That was the only options. But I love that students are being able to like consider so much more, you know, for themselves now. But yeah, we had a little community concert. The Seattle Symphony had our first community concert of the year at a high school that was like a little bit more south in Tukwila here in Washington. And we tend to, if we want to like go out and do run out concerts, we try to choose areas in which we really want to like, you know, reach out to that community. And like a lot of what I'm learning too, that I'm happy, it's, I feel like our team, our education community engagement team, gets to really see who these communities are and their reaction to the symphony. Whereas like our musicians, they kind of show up and they play. They it's like very similar for them what happens most days of like this is what we do. But I am very happy when they get a chance to actually interact with the community themselves so they like get a realistic picture of how they are seen in certain communities, because it's really easy from being at your own stage all the time with over 1,000 people coming to see you for at least 7 shows a week, that you feel like you're like, this is the peak, I'm top of the world. Then you step into a community and then they're like, we don't know who you are. The amount of times as a child this past month, I'm being so serious, has asked me, what's a symphony? And like at first I was shocked, and then I stopped being shocked because I'm like, why would they know this? Like, because a lot of these students, if they're involved with like sports or something else, and they haven't had the opportunity or the interest in like learning about the arts, why would they know what a symphony orchestra is? Because it's not like it's common knowledge out in the universe for that age group and that demographic. So I always saw it as, oh great, I get to like teach and show them like what's cool. And especially for that young age, I always make sure to share the concerts that I think would be interesting to them. So most of that is like our film concerts, you know, and our like pops concerts and stuff, where I'm like, oh, you can go. We just had, it was Halloween, we had Coraline at the symphony this past year, and that was like a big thing. All the kids were like, oh, we want to go see that. Or we do Harry Potter's. I think we're doing How to Train Your Dragon, Indiana Jones and everything next summer. So it's like those are the shows that the youth are like, oh, I could, they can actually, they have some semblance of an understanding already of what the movie is. So that's a foot, you know, into the door already. And then you show them, look at all these people on stage who are playing this music. Can you now, whenever they watch a movie, they can envision like, oh, I wonder like how big the orchestra is, or I wonder what instruments they use to make that sound. I love it. I love that. That's like my favorite part of my job is like getting to talk to the youths, you know, and like just see, engage like their interest and where they're. A lot of them, it's hard to get their attention. It's true. I mean, educators, you know it out there. Like even being in your classroom, it's really hard to get young people's attention right now. And so having a moment where I feel like I can connect with them and actually see genuine interest light in their eyes, it's really fun. I enjoy it. I really do get to enjoy it. So, yeah, October's been crazy, but that has been, I think, a highlight of it, just getting to see and work with different demographics of youth throughout the Washington King County area.
I will say with the students not knowing something, now that I think about it, I don't think I knew exactly what a symphony orchestra was at their age either. I probably was maybe almost in high school when I really grasped the concept of it. I mean, and granted, I've been in band and choir since sixth grade, but however, my instrument was not allowed in orchestra. Like I know Michael did the Youth Symphony Orchestra in our area, but he played trumpet. So like for me as a euphonium player, I'm like, I take that back. I definitely knew what the symphony orchestra was because when I was in seventh grade, my choir took us to I don't even know they do this anymore, but the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra every Christmas would combine with Spellman and Morehouse, and they would do the Christmas show, and that's the first time I heard Betlehemu by the Morehouse Men's Glee Club. But that was a very formidable kind of experience for me. And I remember seeing the conductor there, and he was a black man. And I remember now this could have been a whole little racist joke, but there were people that were like, "Oh my gosh, you could be him," or like he looks like you, or you look like him. And I was like, "Now, what you mean by that?" But on the more positive side, like, yeah, look, I see a black man who's the conductor. Absolutely. Like, yes. Now, I didn't think I was going to be a conductor at that time, but look what happened and look what opened to my demographic. And it was like a whole little trip for us to leave from Middle Georgia, go up to Atlanta and see the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, which again, I didn't really know what it was at the time. We were on a choir trip, so I was focusing more on the choir portion. Even with our kids who just auditioned for region band, certain kids who made top chairs, they get to be in the wind section of the symphony orchestra or the region orchestra. And a lot of kids was like, "What is that?" And it's like, "Oh, yeah." But it's also because we teach band. We do band things. And in my region, we don't have an orchestra. Like there's no strings in the districts. So it's like string players, wind players, Put them together, boom. But not every wind player, not saxophones, not, euphonium players.
An exhibition has saxophone, and then Don Quixote and Planets has euphonium.
So three
Three pieces.
songs.
I think there's probably one more for saxophone, but ain't nobody care. I don't care about saxophone.
But that's also the thing of like, well, especially, we start a lot of saxophone players,
Oh yeah.
lot of euphonium players
True.
who end up, they're like, okay, well, for saxophones, they're like, well, jazz, here's jazz. But that's really it. For euphonium players, you got DCI, you got the military band. And hey, that's really all you got here. So I think there's a bigger conversation to be had when it comes to what are we exposing our kids to after they graduate high school? What can they become? What can they do? I know I have middle school children right now listening to this podcast because I heard them. Let sidebar. We had a performance last Friday, and I'm just like, listening, listening, listening. And I hear Lauren's voice. And I was like,
What?
why am I hearing Lauren's voice? These, my middle schoolers, are all huddled around watching our last episode. And I was like, why am I hearing Lauren's voice?
That's
They were
crazy.
watching our episode.
Creator one, right? That
Huh?
was a Tyler the Creator one.
Yeah, that
Yes.
was in the D'Angelo one, yeah.
Yes. And I was like, oh, so if y'all are listening to this, hi.
That's
Hi.
so funny.
Here's your shout out. But for all those kids that are listening, please continue playing your instruments after
Yeah.
A, after middle school, B, after high school. Keep going. There's so many community bands and community places where you can continue playing your instrument if you don't end up going to college. But if you do go to college, every band program is going to want you to be in it. So go, always stay playing your instruments.
I was talking to a parent recently, one of my former parents, and they were like, I feel like a lot of our seniors this year are gonna like stop playing their instruments after they graduate. I was like, oh no, why? And they're like, well, they just didn't have the most fun experience in a high school band. And I'm like, well, tell them all like they need to like even if you're listening to this and you did not have a great experience in your high school band, continue and see if anything changes. Because a lot of things change when you get to college. Like it's not as intense as some of the like if you're in a quote unquote competitive program and they're like always doing all this marching stuff and you got every weekend taking all sorts of stuff, it can be a lot. When you go do campus band at a college, girl, it's 2 nights of fun, maybe one, and it's just fun. You just throwing your instruments around, throwing that sound around. All state size bands, baby. There's 25 trumpets. Like, girl,
Coming from a grad student who got to conduct those groups, that was my favorite time of the year, was campus band. Okay. Like, we just got all, I mean, honestly, if y'all ever want to see what a campus band looked like, look up Scrappin' Ben Horn. It's on my YouTube channel. There is at least 120 people all on one stage. And we are just playing. It's a sound. But it was so much fun. Like all the students, they were in marching band, and then they came over. They was like, I still want to play my instrument in the spring. And we would rehearse one day a week, Wednesday nights, and we put on a concert and we just had fun. We was just over here playing, doing all that. So please don't stop. It really does change. Middle schoolers, high school is different from middle school. High schoolers that are going to college is different from high school. It's always going to be a different vibe, and I think you're really going to really, really love it.
Anthony,
Yes.
pause.
I'm scared. Maybe I should have not have done this.
Oh.
I'm not gonna play it, but this is the campus band that Anthony has just talked about.
They were huge.
How many trumpets? They got two rows of trumpets. I love it.
I think that year we had like 46 trumpets.
What?
I think we had like 12 tubas.
That's right.
back there. I mean, it was big. And that's not even the biggest group. I think the year before that was even bigger. Yeah, when I did Katajia's Cold, way bigger. Like it was, hey, y'all, come on. We will take anybody and everybody.
That's crazy.
Join, join, join.
Oh, okay.
Crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's important if you're a student and you didn't have like, because I get that like you end up with, say, in a really competitive high school, middle school area, and like you just wanted to do it because you loved it, and you come out of it and you're like, well, I don't want to continue if it's gonna be like that. You never know where you end up going may not be that kind of experience. It could be that fun, very light-hearted place that you just get to meet a lot of fun friends who also play instruments. So you never know. You never know. And if you are somebody who you loved how you wish you were in a more competitive area or a more strict program, then college could also be that for you if you find the right place, you go to. So don't just limit yourself to thinking that whatever your initial experience was is going to be what it continues to be. Like, always stay open.
I conduct a community group right now, and every cycle we have new people come, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, I haven't played my instrument in this amount of years, and it's just so much fun getting to play this again." And I don't like I had one lady; she was like, "Yeah, I've been teaching, school for 30 years, and I just wanted to pick up my horn and like actually play again." And she was like, "I'm so glad I did this and I didn't feel like judged that, it's been 30 years since I've actually played." I'm like, "Girl, come on. Like, yes, we just want you to play your instrument. No, we're not judging. This isn't UIL. This isn't LGBT. We are just having fun. We're putting on a show for our audiences. That's it." And so, never, never stop that. There's always going to be a place for you with that instrument.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And like, I love community orchestras and community bands, like working with them and seeing them. It's like these are people who love music, who like are who undoubtedly, 'cause like, I'm gonna be honest, I'm gonna say something. A lot of these professional musicians with these positions out here hate their jobs. What they love about their jobs is the money they get, the security they have, and the fact that they get to like say they have that job. But you interact with them and they don't actually speak about enjoying the music and the making the music with people. You go into a community orchestra, a community band, my goodness, the amount of appreciation for music and for arts and for community in those rooms, like I have a friend here in West Seattle who does the West Seattle like symphonic band, community band over there. And he reached out about, oh, a lot of the groups they've been talking about wanting to work with a soloist they've never gotten to. Would you want to do something on our holiday program? And he put together this beautiful arrangement of like the Christmas song for me to do with the group. And it's like very basic for the flute part. It's not like anything crazy. Like I could sight read it if I wanted to. But for me, I'm like, the value of this experience is that I'm going to be working with musicians who care that they're there. They're going to care that I'm there. They're going to remember that experience of like, this is the first time I've ever gotten to work with like a soloist with this, and it's going to be a learning experience. And for me as a because very often, especially now that I'm done with my DMA and I'm still working part-time in arts admin, I get a lot of questions from different people about, are you going to audition for different things? Are you going to do this? And I'm like, that's not what I'm interested in anymore. My performance, how I view my performance is whenever I get to interact with humans and musicians and artists and people who actually really care about what they're doing and they love it, that is what I interact with. So when my favorite church director is like, hi, would you be able to come play a service? Absolutely, because I love you and I love you and I love your church family because y'all have treated me so well throughout these past years. Whenever my friend who is over community band is like, can you come play a solo with us? Absolutely, because I know the value and the impact that that's going to have. I'm not interested in playing Chaminade with like, people. I'm not interested in being on sub list for orchestras right now because I don't see that as like impactful for myself or that group and the way it is for like me getting to work with this group of humans who just really love music. So that is something I will have to say. And like Michael, as a professional musician out in a symphony orchestra, I'm sure you have met those people who you're like, why are you here? I've seen them every day. I see you. I hear the conversations, and it's just like so surprising because it's like, why are you here taking up space if you hate it so much?
There is, and you know, like I like, you know, and you fall into these tropes sometimes, and I do too. Like, I mean, there's a time where I'm like, y'all, if I'm not getting paid, I'm not opening up this trumpet. Like, I'm not doing it. I was like, I don't want to feel that way about my trumpet. I love it. She hates me. She hates we get together though. Once I get some Botox in my forehead, I think she'll love me more.
Oh,
But
wow.
no, I mean, like it's a fine line. Like there comes a time where like you should never hate your instrument. You should never hate what you do. I'm never accounting for that. There is times though where you can like advocate for yourself, where you're like, yeah, I need to make more money. Like this is not like I love coming here and I love doing this, but I see for the special thing, like you know, when you do like random Sunday stuff with some people, like, oh cool. But when you call in when it's a special Sunday, you call in these other people. That's the thing to raise questions. I'm like, oh, so I'm not good enough for your special Sundays, but I'm good enough for your regular Tuesday. Like that kind of thing. But no, it is weird because I'll talk to these people. I'm like, they'd be talking about their jobs. I'm like, oh girl, do you hate what you do? Girl, you have the fortunate pleasure to blow through plumbing and receive a check. Like literally, like the pleasure of that. Like I was talking about it, and I was talking to one of my students because they were like very confused about like they were like, Michael, I'm like, what's up, homie? And they were like, we see your Instagram and you are always eating good and doing this stuff, but you're a musician. I said, okay. They're like, our parents said you make no money. I said, baby, I'm doing pretty good. And they're like, what you mean? I said, I'm not going to tell you what I make because that is uncouth like. But I will tell you is, baby, look at my Instagram and know the bills are paid.
First of all, that was shade that they said you eat well. What they trying to say?
They
They
said
said
my
I'm
parents said you were
dead.
poor. They said my parents said you were poor.
You're poor.
This like falseness where some people are like, musicians make no money. Baby, that might be some of them, but baby, you see my body? You think I don't make money? Baby.
Look, I have never heard something so true. My senior at Allstate, I had the conductor. Her name was Dr. Karen Kennedy. She was the director of choral activities at Frost School of Music. Rest in peace. She had cancer and she passed away a couple years ago. But she really put my mind at ease. And you know, sometimes when you're at these region band or Allstates or things like that, they know the kids are tired, so they're like, we're gonna do a Q&A. So she did a Q&A and we're asking her questions. And I think somebody said, hey, I'm thinking about doing music education, but my parents are really like, you're not gonna make money doing this. And she said, you know, I usually get that question every one of these I happen. And I just have one question for you. Does it look like I'm hungry? I said, oh, I know that's right. She said,
That's how I should, you know, that's how I should answer because
yes.
I'm hungry.
Does it
Girl.
look like I'm hungry? Because I really feel like people think that we are starving. Now, on that, there are people in our career. This might be a little
Ooh.
shady to some of our friends. They have also told themselves that they are poor, but they're not.
Okay, and this is where I'm sorry to interrupt anything, but I'm gonna piggyback on you. How much money do you really need to make? And that's the question I have to ask. Because like, if you think you have to make exorbitant amounts of money, there's something wrong within you, I think a little bit. Like, why can't you just enjoy life? Make sure the bills are paid and get some stuff that you need.
I think it's laziness actually, with people who actually have money to like enjoy life, but they keep telling themselves they don't. There's so many, like literally last night, I was out with a friend for dinner And this restaurant that is bougie, but it's Seattle Restaurant Week right now, so a lot of places will give you a 3-course meal for
We had
$35.
Houston, we 2 months ago.
Exactly. So you like we all last night because when we went to this place, there's no reservations, but it was slammed with specifically a bunch of like minor or like under 21 people. So like, they, and I was like, what is going on? Why are all these kids here? And it's like, oh my gosh, it's restaurant week. So people are getting to go out and try these amazing restaurants for super cheap. And there's always like, if you just keep, there's happy hours, there's specials, there's all these things that you can go have amazing food, amazing beverages, if that's what you want to do. For super cheap, or if you go out with friends, and let's say you get between you all like 2 entrees and an app, you can split that if you don't get any drinks, and like you can have a lovely meal for that, like just with your friends and everything. So whenever I hear that, and it's people who I know make, I know what you make because I know what your job is and I know where you live because it's really easy to look up cost of living, you
Yeah.
know, in certain cities. Then I'm just like, you're not being thoughtful with how you're spending your money. You think that you have to have ramen, which here, look, you will never catch me in my apartment without a case of beef
Look,
ramen.
I talk about ramen with Lauren, but she's trying to kill somebody with high cholesterol and all
My
that.
baby, I will tell you, if you have an ounce of lockjaw, don't go to Lauren's Ramen, because baby, that jaw will be locked. Anthony and I,
Stop this. Stop.
were we Clearwater? What
Slanderous.
was it?
We were in Claremont. We were at my apartment.
Okay,
Ooh, Lauren,
all
you have
right.
to. I literally had to like breathe the salt out from how much. See, but I really had to go like this. I feel my.
I took it. I went, woo, Lauren. I mean,
Well,
it was
look,
delicious.
okay,
It
what happened? Let me, because I feel like I have to explain this every 3 months.
was terrible. But Lauren, that's what you feel. This is what me and Anthony taste.
I know where I messed up. I messed up because usually if I add in other seasonings to my ramen, I take away their little
Packet.
like pack of stuff, or I only put half in. And that time I just was like, I just forgot. I was excited to make it for y'all and I was trying to make it good. And I gave y'all high cholesterol. But people who know that you can make a good old ramen, put a little egg on it.
Yes, and what you did, it was a beautiful presentation. It really was. It was just and the thing is that weekend we was eating a lot that weekend, and I wanted some ramen just to detox a little bit. Like, okay, we didn't have these big meals because I think we had went to Chef Arts and got the chicken and all this, and then I was like, okay, ramen's cute, it's something light. Light was not in the building. It wasn't in the building. But I will say this too. You know, we talk about the money of musicians or whatever. If you go on my Instagram and you follow what I do, I'm on a cruise at least once every 4 or 5 months. A person that ain't got no money would not be there. But
It's true.
here's the thing. And I really just want to take this kind of stereotype away. Because it's not. Now, I'm not saying there aren't places in this country where music educators and musicians aren't making little to nothing. There are many places. Trust me, there are. But on average, if you are living for maybe you and your age, now that is something that I think, okay, you probably make enough for you. Now, when I'm also not talking about family, full families, I'm
See.
not talking about that. I don't live that life. That is not my ministry. I don't know what y'all do. Now, that I'm speaking about from a single person, one person on one salary as a educator or performer, whatever, it is a decent way of living.
It's true. And like, I was literally about to say that if you are a person who you have multiple kids, even one kid,
Right,
and
one.
you have a house and a mortgage, this don't concern you. We're
Right.
not talking to you, right? Because you made your choices
Yes.
of your lifestyle,
Oof.
and that is for you to figure out,
Yes, because
right?
it could be me.
Couldn't be me. Not now.
Right,
Not
not right
now.
now. Not right now.
Not right now.
But like I said, those are you're on a completely different bracket than
It's
what
true.
we are talking about. So please don't come in the comments and say, what are y'all talking about? Yeah, I got kids in there. We're
We
not.
don't. We don't.
We
Let's make
don't.
it clear.
Of a completely different life, okay? Completely different life.
That's not us. And
Right.
here's the thing too, let's be real. Okay, you come out of college, not everyone has the same like what you're responsible for. So maybe you find yourself in a situation because like I for what I know, all three of us have paid for our rent, have paid for our other bills outside of that. Health insurance, I mean, we just kind of like in the past few years turned 26, so getting off parents' health insurance and everything. But other than that, we have had to foot our own bills. Now, I am blessed to have a mother in my life who like will allow, every now and then she'll send me something and I'm very upfront with talking about it. Like I would not have survived undergrad without my mom helping me pay for my rent. But as soon as I went to grad school, she was like, blessings, you got it now. And the truth is I did. I made sure with my auditions to go places where I was going to get a full ride so that my TA money and everything was going directly to rent. Like I set that up for myself so that I could have that and everything. We understand that that is not everyone's situation. Also, you might be coming out of school and immediately need to pay off your student loans. That's another thing that some of us on this podcast have not had to do, and we recognize that to deal with student loans. So it may be a thing where we're saying like, oh, that $35 meal, that's nothing. For you, maybe it is. And if that is the case, you know that, and we recognize that. We recognize that everybody has different things and that you have to prioritize. But we are saying for people, there's also a very large percentage of us out there, musicians, arts professionals, who we limit ourselves because we're, oh, I can't take a fancy vacation. I can't do this. We all every year we're on a cruise together. Like we go do something together and like it is our way of like treating ourselves because we save up to that. It's not like we can just at any moment drop and go on a like 7-day cruise or something. It is we're planning for
Oh,
those
I have
things.
tried. I have tried. Actually, this is gonna be the first time I'm actually doing that. Only because I spent a lot of money at a casino and they gave me something back. That's it. That's
Ooh.
it. That's it. Okay.
Come
But I also
on.
spent a lot of money at the casino.
Exactly. So, all that to say, please recognize when we're talking to you and when we're not. We do not want people who have multiple kids or has other things coming up in our comments being like, "No." We're talking to the people who you can be doing more for yourself and you just want to complain. Stop. I don't want to hear it.
Stop. Stop. And because, I have seen people who, they have left the field because their original, what they said was they weren't getting paid enough. And now they have a regular job and they're actually getting paid less. But I see it because, like, being an educator, there's a lot of things happening there. You got to be a secretary. You got to be somebody's mental health provider. You got to be giving all the time. And then the little part is about being actually teaching music. So you wear a lot of hats. So I get it. And now in the regular job where you are getting paid less, but you can only be like you can really focus on just being one thing. And so that headache is gone. But I wish that the way the way in which you said, like, the only reason I'm leaving is because of the money, that's not true. It is okay to say, hey, I thought this was going to be way less demanding than it is, because being an educator is demanding. There is a reason why
Absolutely.
when I leave work, it's silent time until the next day, because I have to have enough energy to give out between the hours of 8:15 and 3:45. Because if not, it's just not going to work. Now, that is completely understandable, but just boiling it down to a money issue, not a thing. But I will also say, y'all, it's fun. It's a joke because I keep saying it on TikTok, but however, it's not a joke. Like, it's real. You'll see something happen and they're like, oh, this is a recession indicator. Funny because, like, they're like, oh, Mariah Carey just made like a commercial for blah, blah, blah. This is a recession indicator because Mariah is working. That usually means the recession's about to happen. Now, that is hilarious because LOL, but it's true. We are on, at the time of this filming, are on day 34 of a government shutdown.
But the ICE people still getting paid.
Make that work. Literally, I
Ooh,
just.
that. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I just read this morning here in Houston, So Houston has five terminals, A, B, C, D, and E, at one of their airports, and only two of the five is open for people to actually come in and travel. And they are waiting up to 3 hours. 3 hour wait. I saw the lines. The lines are outside the door. Like, here's the door, and there's like lines and lines of people outside trying to get in because of this government shutdown. And we're on day 34. The longest government shutdown prior to this was 35 days, and that also happened under this current president's administration between in 2018 and 2019. So it's like, we are really headed back to circa like
Let me say
2000.
something. This, if y'all, this would technically be the day after, whenever this episode drops. If I hear anybody complaining and you did not, this is, we in Washington, we get vote-in mail ballots, but if you don't, if I don't see everybody with their stickers on posting, I don't want to hear complaints. Because I'm sick of all the complaints. Oh, this is happening, this is happening. But you didn't go out and vote. How do you think things happen in this country? How do you think democracy works if you're not participating?
Here's the thing, y'all, and I think everybody has a different rule of thumb on this. For me, yes, the presidential elections are extremely important. The congressional elections are what can stop a bad president or what can aid a good president.
It's true. Checks and balances.
Like literally, what passes, where does. Have y'all ever seen where a bill gets made, baby? School of Rock.
School of Rock. Shout out.
Now I'm just a bill.
There's the
A
bill.
low-down bill sitting on the steps of Capitol Hill.
I'm so sorry.
That's
Anyway.
our, that is our PSA to
Yes, go vote.
get some action rolling, because I'm sorry, like in a couple weeks, I will hopefully be flying back to Georgia for some Thanksgiving. I want some Thanksgiving food. Is that such a crazy want that now
Oh.
I'm thinking about, like, should I fly? Because will I be able to?
I also we gotta talk about what's happening with SNAP right now too, and EBT, speaking
42
about
million
food and the fact
people.
that Thanksgiving's coming up. I hope that the people and places who are able to help, because I think there was a ruling that they have SNAP has to continue in some way, and I think I just saw this morning that the Trump administration's only going to do partial funding for SNAP during this time of the government shutdown. What I love about what I'm seeing in Washington right now, that I hope other communities are doing, there are resource pages and like things coming out like this is where to go for free food every single day. Every single day, there is a place in Washington that will give people goods, a warm meal to eat. One of the things I started at the Symphony the first year I got there as a fellow was I remember whenever I was a kid, every October our school would have like classroom. It was a competition for us, so that was a fun part as a kid. But we were getting canned goods and like dry goods to give to the local food bank. And it was called Spooky to Be Hungry. And the whole campaign was around it's scary to imagine a world where like you are hungry and like you get to help other families and children who are in need right now. And all you did, you just go to your grocery store, pick up some canned goods, bring it to your classroom, and then whatever classroom like got the most like cans, like got a little pizza party, whatever. But like all those canned goods, dry goods were donated to the local, I think Golden Harvest was my local in Augusta food bank. And so at the Symphony, from tomorrow until the end of the month, November 24th, right before Thanksgiving, we put donation boxes in the musicians' lounge and the artist entrance, and on the fifth floor where all the administrative offices are for people to bring in their goods. And we always go and drop it off at Northwest Harvest, which is our local food bank, and that's where I'm going after this to pick up donation boxes. So there are ways in which we can help support people who are going to be affected by this shutdown and like the lack of SNAP funding. So make sure you are finding out how you can, if you are able to help, make sure.
Yep.
I'm gonna say this real quick. First of all, if y'all need some food, y'all just hit me up. I got you. I'll cook for you. If I don't cook for you, I got some pizza rolls. Next thing.
Crazy.
I'm being for real. Being for real. Next thing. A child should not suffer because a parent is down on their luck. I grew up on EBT. And I am now a professor at a university. I did not deserve to go hungry when I was a child. No child deserves that. No child selects themselves to come into this world. And I think that is a big thing that I've been thinking about and talking about. No child said, oh, let me just pop out. No. But you also, yes, we want adults to like fend for themselves and do for themselves. When you get a string of things that just go wrong, and it just keeps going wrong. Like everybody has those days where just everything goes wrong. Imagine that is part of your life. Who needs to get kicked when they're down? Nobody. Y'all remember the teachers who made fun of you when you got something wrong in front of everybody? That is how someone feels when you kick them when they're down. So we have to be there for our society. And especially for the children of the society. Like, yes, adults need to eat too. I'm not saying no one needs to go without eating. But if you see somebody on the side of the road and they got a child with them, I urge you to go to the nearest fast food, buy food, and give it to them. I keep a box of bones in my trunk when I see a dog on the side of the road. And if I can get to some fast food, I'll give it to the human too. But I make sure I have some bones for some dogs. Like, I won't give out money, but I sure, if there is more than what I need for rent in my account, I'm gonna help somebody out if I can.
I think I'm glad you said that too, because that's something as well that I know that people do is keep like bottled water and like Costco snacks in their car just at arm's reach. So there's someone on the highway or whatever right there, you can just grab a snack, grab a bottle of water, hand it to them, and you have something right then. And if you don't have the time, to or the extra resources to like stop at a fast food place, at least you can give them water, at least you can give them a snack. That is also something you can do. Unfortunately, we must all like see ourselves as like a community, because what's happening federally right now is affecting everybody. So if you've been clocked out, tapped out the past however many years, or if you're a young student and you're just now coming a part of it, go ahead and start. Go ahead and pick up a $20 or so, case of something, or $20 worth of water and snacks at your local Costco or wherever. Keep it in your car, keep it rolling. Like, that is how you can help. You don't have to give out direct money if that's not what you want to do, but there are so many other ways that you can help. So,
I just urge everybody to become a community again. I urge everybody to love one another. And I urge everybody just to be better people. Because that's all I try to do as a teacher. That's my only job, is to make somebody a better person. I could give two shits less on what they can do on the instrument. If
Agreed.
they're stuck as a human, we have to do better.
100%. Well, y'all, please stay safe out there. We hope that this episode brightened up your day, and we'll see you next time. See you later.